Well, when we kind of first began kind of, you know, thinking towards Easter Sunday and we're praying into that, really felt that God put it on my heart to speak about being made new, the new life that Christ gives us. And today, as I said earlier on, I'm really kind of genuinely excited to be able to have a baptism. You know, because Easter, when you're doing a baptism on Easter, and when I'm talking about Easter, of course, I'm talking about Christ's death and resurrection. Baptism says that, that moment, Easter, Christ's death and resurrection, isn't just an event in history that we look back on, but it's something that happened with the power to change your life today. So as I was saying earlier on, it's not like we're having some kind of memorial service this morning. We're having a celebration. Do you know this morning that Jesus is alive? Amen. Amen. And because he's alive, we can celebrate this morning. Otherwise, we'd be having a memorial. But what I want us to understand in the kind of brief time that I'm going to share with us this morning is really this. What Jesus did back then produces noticeable results in your life now. What he did then produces results in your life now. Right now, today. I feel it's really important that we kind of grasp that this morning, because when I'm talking about my God, I want you to know this morning that my God is not someone who just gives me some kind of like nice little warm feeling or some kind of vague hope. He's a God who produces real results in my life. He's a God who's changed me and transformed me and changed many people and transformed many people in this room. I believe that Jesus can produce real results in people's lives. Why do I believe it? Because he's alive. You know, a dead God couldn't change anything. But because he's alive, because I know what he's done in my life, because I worship in a church full of people who have seen what he has done in their life, I stand here and say, my Jesus can do anything. My Jesus can do anything. This is the message of the Easter story. Do you know in John chapter 20, when we read about Peter, and Peter was there that first Easter, and he's one of the first ones to arrive at the scene as the resurrection. He's one of the first ones to arrive at the empty tomb and to discover that Jesus is alive. And we'll read about that in just a moment. And he's one of the ones who discovers that. And as you read the unfolding of Peter's story from that point onwards, you see the story of a man whose life was radically changed as a result of what Christ achieved at Easter. This life of this man, Peter, was completely transformed as he began to become aware and understand that Christ had risen from the dead. And you know, 20 years later, some 20 years later or so, he's writing a letter to a church in modern-day Turkey who are going through an incredibly difficult time. There's this group of people there, and they really need to know, what difference can God make in my situation? Can God help in this situation? Can God help in the midst of what we are going through? What did Peter choose to speak to them about? The resurrection. He chose to point them back to what Christ done on that first Easter at the cross and the empty tomb. He pointed them back to a moment in history with the power to change your life today. And in 12 verses, Peter begins to share from experience what he's experienced and is continuing to experience as a result of the fact that Christ is risen. The power of the resurrection and what it can do. I want to read kind of 12 verses to you. And don't worry if you get a little bit lost in the middle of it. If, you know, we'll try and unpack it and explain what it means. But it comes from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 through to 12. And it says this: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. These have come so that the provenness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Peter says, here's my experience. This is what, after 20 years, I want to tell you in your situation. Because of Christ's resurrection, verse 3 through to 4, I praise God because I've experienced new life. I've experienced new life. He says, not only have I experienced new life, a life like I've never experienced before, incomparable to anything else. I've got nothing to compare it to. It's new life of a different order, of a different quality, of a different dynamic. He says, not only this new life, but I've got a living hope. He says, I've come into this living hope. He says, not only have I come into this living hope, but I've now got a new future, heaven. Because the truth that Jesus is risen from the dead. In verse 3 through to 4, in the Message version of the Bible, it says this: because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and everything to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. He goes on from that point in verse 5 through to 7 and says this: the resurrection gives you a new resilience in the face of difficulties. It gives you a new perspective. It gives you a deeper faith. It brings you into new praise. You know, when you're facing difficult circumstances and situations, but then you remember to yourself, even the grave couldn't hold Jesus. That there's no situation that he can't overcome. No situation that he can't break through. No situation that looks too dead for him to bring life forth. You begin to realize, I've got a new perspective on what is going on. So we've got all that going on. Then in verse 8 through to 9, he says it gives you a joy. He says it's inexpressible. In other words, it's undescribable. It's difficult to quantify and to put into words. That's why when sometimes you talk to people and ask them to tell you their story about what Jesus, it's even hard sometimes to find the very words to describe what you've experienced because what of Jesus has achieved in your life. And in verse 12, he kind of brings all this into perspective when he says this, and I'll read it to you from the Message version of the Bible. It says, do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels would have given anything to be in on this. Whoa. Angels would love to trade places with you. How awesome is that? Because they understand so powerful and incredible is the resurrection that they wish they could be like you and really understand and experience fully the power and the life that's in it. They wish that they could be in the position that you're in today. And in the original language, as we read through those 12 verses, it's really interesting because actually it goes all the way through in one sentence. I don't know if you know that, but we've added the grammar. You know, so we want to get it out and we want it to be a bit easier to read and understand. So we put in our commas and our full stops and everything like that. But in the original, you get all the way from like verse kind of where we began in verse 3 there, all the way through to verse 12. And there's not even any punctuation. It's like this breathless, excitable praise that Peter's bringing forth. It's like, I can't come up for breath. I just want to tell you about everything that God has done through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's like, I can't even stop. It'd be like you'd be saying, slow down. But it's like, I'm so excited. I've got to get it all out and tell you of all that Jesus has achieved because Jesus has risen from the dead. This is excitable praise that's kind of bursting forth from him. He's saying, after 20 years, I want to tell you from personal experience, no matter what you're going through, Jesus' resurrection has the power to change anything and everything. See, I can look back to a moment in history. I can point people back to a moment in history, and it's important that we look back at that and understand historically what happened. But for many people, the question concerning God doesn't center around events in history. It centers around this. Can your God make a difference in my life today? That's what it comes down to. And Peter says, after 20 years of personal experience? Let me tell you, the answer is yes. Three people are going to stand up here this morning and tell you their stories. And what they're saying is this: let me tell you, 2,000 years later, my answer from personal experience is yes. He has the power to make a difference in your life today. No one this morning is getting baptized in the memory of an event, but because of what they've experienced because of it. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, in the New Living Translation, it says this: anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Read that with me this morning. Look. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become an improved person. The old life is improved. An improved life has begun. No, a new life. I love the fact that it says new. Do you know, it's not Jesus' heart to come along and just try and patch up your life and improve your life in some way. It's his heart to do something new, like you've never known or experienced before. See, people, as they get baptized, are celebrating what? They're going under the water. Why? Because the old life is gone. Crucified with Christ. Then they're coming out of the water. Why? Because a new life has begun. Jesus died and Jesus rose. And we're changed because of what he's done. And we get baptized. Why? Not for the sake of it, but because we want to stand before a room full of people and say, do you know what? Jesus means everything to me. He's changed my life. He's done things I never thought were possible. I love him and I want to follow him. That's why you go in this tank. Lazy spa. New. Not improved. New. A London businessman called Lindsay Clegg tells a story of a warehouse property he was selling. The building had been empty for months and needed repairs. Vandals had damaged the doors, smashed the windows, strewn trash around the interior. As he showed a prospective buyer the property, Clegg took pains to say that he would replace the broken windows, bring in a crew to correct any structural damage, and clean out the garbage. Forget about the repairs, the buyer said. When I buy this place, I'm going to build something completely different. I don't want the building. I want the site. Why do I read that story? Because Jesus doesn't want to try and help and just improve your situation, improve your life, improve your struggles or problems, kind of patch things up. His heart is this: if you'll turn over the site of your life to him, he will do something completely new. Something completely different. Something that you can honestly put your hand on your heart and say, I have never felt, known, or experienced anything like this before. Love like this, grace like this, friendship like this. Never known, experienced, or felt that before. And you know, people stand up and they tell us their stories of how God has changed their life. And maybe you sit there and you think, do you know what? That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. I don't really understand how that can be. It's because I want you to understand this. The truth is really this, that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ only really makes sense when it becomes personal. You see, that was true for Peter, and that was true for his friend John. In John chapter 20, John's reflecting upon the events of that day when him and Peter discovered that the tomb was empty. And as you read it, John kind of writes in the third person. He refers to himself as the one who, as the disciple who the master loved. And you know, he understood how much Jesus loved him. It wasn't that he was the only one that Jesus loved. He was just in love. Loved the fact that Jesus loved him. The Father loved him so much as he was writing that. And he talks about himself in the third person. But he's reflecting upon his journey, his and Peter's journey, on that very first Easter. What happened when they first heard that Jesus had risen. And it says this: early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Just say that, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folding up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first, that's John, also went in and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. So word comes to Peter and John and they're hearing something's going on. We went down to that tomb, Mary saying, and Jesus' body is not there. He's gone. And Peter and John are like, oh, well, that's nice. No, they're like, whoa, what? If that's going on, I've got to go and check it out for myself. It's not enough for us just to kind of take someone else's word for what's going on here. We need to go and take a personal look. We need to go and check out what's going on for ourselves. Rather than just accept the story of another, we need to take a personal look into this situation. So John, well, he's a bit faster than Peter, so they set off, and then it says they're running. They really want to get there. John's a bit more nifty. Peter's a bit more on the sluggish side, and so John pulls ahead in the race to the tomb. But in verse 5, as John arrives at the tomb, he hits the brakes. He reaches the door, he sees what's going on, and I guess just all these questions are exploding in his mind about what's happened, and he hits the brake, and he stops at the door, and he's just kind of looking in. Along comes Peter, a little bit further behind, and Peter arrives at the tomb, and when Peter arrives at the tomb, he says, I ain't hanging around and looking at a door and wondering what's going on. He says, I'm going to go inside and check it out for myself. And so John's outside, and John's kind of looking in, and Peter just goes right past John. Yeah, you know, it's the old hare and the tortoise. He goes right past John, and he heads right in to the tomb to find out what's going on. And so John's there. He's on the outside. He's thinking to himself, what has happened here? This tomb is meant to be sealed. There's meant to be a body in there. It's meant to be stinking. All of a sudden, I've come around a corner. I've got an open tomb with a gigantic stone that's been rolled away. And I'm looking at empty grave clothes. And he's thinking to himself, what is going on? Peter arrives and Peter goes in. And the word there, when it says that Peter looked or saw, in that word there, actually means in the Greek this. It means he scrutinized the scene. In other words, he began to look around and scrutinize. I've got empty burial clothes. I've got a tomb store that's been rolled away. And I've got all the evidence that Jesus was here, but Jesus is not here. And he's scrutinizing the scene and he's looking at all these bits of evidence and really taking a close look at what's going on. It's like he said to himself in his heart, I can't just stop outside. I can't just take a look in at a distance from this and try and understand. I've got to go in and take a real good look for myself and have a look at this thing and make it personal and try and understand what's actually going on. I've got to find out. And then John's watching Peter inside, like scrutinizing the scene. He realizes, why am I on the outside trying to look in and understand what's going on? And so John says, you know what? I'm going in as well. And so in verse 8, it says, he also went in. And then it says what? When he went in, he saw and he believed. He saw and he believed. That word there for saw, it means this. It means I perceived the significance of what had happened when I took a personal look at what was going on. And in verse 9, he says this, I understood. When I stopped looking at a distance and I went in and it became personal, then I perceived the significance of Christ's death and resurrection, and I understood. I understood. You see, it's interesting in a way that we call the day that Jesus died the most horrific death, Good Friday. It wasn't a very good Friday on the face of it. See, on that Friday, Peter and John and many others, they're confused, they're broken, they're traumatized, their hopes and their dreams are shattered, there's questions, there's wonderings, there's probably doubts, there's confusions. Jesus' death didn't really seem to all make sense. And John's reflecting as he writes this in John chapter 20 back on that day, and he says, I'm outside trying to figure it all out, trying to understand. You see, on Friday, things didn't make sense, but then came Sunday. Then came Sunday, and Good Friday only became good because of what happened on Easter Sunday. Because that day when Peter and John took a personal look and entered into what had happened on Easter Sunday, they said, we understood. It was like, now I perceive the significance. Now I see. Because Jesus has risen from the dead and defeated the grave, now I understand he's the power to forgive my sins, to give me a new life, eternal life, a new relationship with God, new beginnings, new hope, a new future which is heaven, new resilience in the face of difficulties, new perspective in the face of problems, new faith, new levels of praise, new joy. And Peter says some 20 years later, as he writes to that church that I told you about earlier on, he says, that has been my experience, and that is still my ongoing experience. The cross and the tomb, friends, is an ongoing experience. That the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has the power to change your life today. It has the power to break through in a situation tomorrow. It has the power to move in that situation on Tuesday. It has the power to bring breakthrough as you're going through that difficulty on Wednesday. It has the power to answer that prayer on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday in 2018, 19, 20, until whenever you go home or the Lord returns. The power of the resurrection makes a real difference in your life today. It happened then, but it does something now. Because of that day, I know my sins are forgiven. He gives me new life, eternal life, and so on. And you know, so many people are trying to make sense of Easter and the death and the resurrection of Jesus from the outside looking in. It's like we're at a distance. What is this all? I mean, what's going on? They're telling me stories about what Jesus has done in his life and how he's changed them. And we're looking at a distance, trying to weigh it up, and we've got doubts and wonderings and confusions and questions. And the message of this story is this. If you'll take a couple of steps and come on in and you'll make it personal, you'll understand and you'll experience exactly what Jesus can do in your life. We stand on the outside looking, wondering, can God help me? We stand on the outside looking, wondering, can things change for me? We stand on the outside looking and wondering, does he love me? We stand on the outside looking and wondering, can he do something for me? And we're trying to make a sense from a distance what you only understand when you come up close and personal. It only makes sense when you go in. Then I perceived. Then I understood. So Easter isn't a memorial event. It's a personal experience you can enter into. You know,